morning, which has already started, to 9 p.m. tonight, the National Mall will be the scene of a historic gathering as Americans of every background across the country prepare for the nation's 250th birthday with scripture, testimony, prayer, and the rededication of a country, of our country, as one nation back to God. Let's play this video. Together for a team, they always do a great job. Amen. The point is today that across this country, and today in the National Mall, this rededication, 250, back to God of this nation is important. May 17th was chosen because it coincides with the exact 250th anniversary of the 1776 Continental Congress proclamation that called for a national day of fasting and prayer in the colonies. So the event, rededication 250, is rooted in giving thanks for God's presence in our nation's life throughout the 250 years of America's history, and asking God for His continued guidance in the years to come. How many know that would be pretty important? The truth is, as you have learned from me teaching, God goes where our faith puts Him. Where He's invited, where He wanted, where He's wanted. How many know that God is where He's welcome? God moves. And this event is people from all across America calling upon God. You know, God is really doing some amazing things across our country. Despite of all the, the negativity and the Communist News Network and all the things that have gone wrong and do go wrong in a nation, very rarely do we see, unless we look at the right places, the things that God is really doing. But make no mistake about it, even look around here this morning, God is doing some great things. I think you should put your hands together for one another this morning. And I believe that as God's church, His church is awakening to the fact that the proclamation and the demonstration of the gospel is still the strength of the church. And we really are living in historic times. And if Jesus tarries, this day will be remembered as something special in America's history. We just a week or so ago celebrated a National Day of Prayer. But today, May 17th, 2026, Rededicate 250 is a national jubilee of prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. And never in history of the United States of America has a president called for a day of rededication and prayer as President Trump has. Today across the land, God will be called on for His forgiveness, His grace, His blessing to be upon America. And for this, every believer should rejoice. Because we're calling upon Him, not government, not a man's name, but our Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ, who broke down every barrier, every race, everything. He came for the whole world, and for whosoever will call upon His name, they are saved. It will be a time today from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. This is what they have planned. It will be a time of remembering the miracles, the people, the sacrifices, and the defining moments in which God powerfully manifested Himself in our history. Now, even though we do not have time, as they do, to go through all those things, I want to give you the what they call the three pillars of the day. Number one, the miracles that made us. It's all about remembering God's providence throughout the 250 years, honoring the faith that inspired the America's founders and has carried us forward in every generation since. Let's look at a couple of scriptures that echo this very thought of the miracles that made us. How many know that America is a miracle? And by the providence of God, we should recognize it. Just like Israel is a miracle, and that nation being restored in 1948. Everything, you know, God's timepiece is Israel. Today, in other words, we can look at where we're at in history and prophetically by looking at what God is doing in the nation of Israel. We can look at the end time events, but if we want to know what God is saying, God's mouthpiece is His church. And today, we must understand that His church is made up of people in every nation, tongue, tribe, and country. Not just the United States of America, but praise God, America has sent more missionaries and has done more possibly for the gospel than any other nation. And so we'll celebrate the miracles that made us. Let's look at some scriptures that remind us that this is important. Psalm 77, verses 11 and 12 says this: I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. Even though it's only 250 years for this nation, today across this nation, people will be faced with what God has done in the last 250 years and what God has done and called this nation to do. Verse 12 goes on and says, I will meditate also on all thy works and the talk of thy doings. In other words, what God has done. It's what God has done. Again in Psalms 105, verse 1 and verse 5. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Today we're giving thanks. Are you giving thanks to God today for what He's done? Thank God. I can tell you, every one of our missionaries, they ever come in, they come from Africa, they come from every nation, and they say when they come to America, it says, let me tell you something, Pastor Chris. We pray for America because as America goes, so goes the world. Our country is better because of America. And it's a bastion of freedom, even though everything isn't perfect, everything isn't peachy keen. I want you to know it is still holds the banner of freedom because of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing the truth that makes us free. Oh, give them thanks unto the Lord and call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. And that's what's being done in our nation's capital today. When there could be a lot of other things that are not right going on there, today something right is happening. And verse 5, it says, remember His marvelous works which they will, that He have done in which we are, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. Then the second pillar of the day that they will be focusing on is the miracles still in our midst. In other words, they're going to be talking about in this 12 hours of time, personal testimonies of God's healing in our lives and in our land. You know, even today, there's many of you that could stand and say what God has not only done in salvation, but in healing. But today, we need to be reminded personally and as a nation how that God has helped us, how God brings healing to this land, and He's still the God of miracles, and He's in our midst. Jeremiah 33 tells us this in verse 2 and 3, and then verse 6 it says, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord hath formed it, and to establish it, the Lord is His name. Verse 3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And then in verse 6 it says, behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and I revealed unto them the abundance of peace and truth. How many know that it's God's will that this nation be healed? How many know it's God's will, as long as this church is here, that there will be abundance of peace and truth through God's healing, through His proclamation of the gospel, where the gospel of the preparation of the gospel of peace, as you and I go out and share the hope that all of us have and the world has still in Jesus Christ, through that message, bringing people to Christ and changing one heart at a time. Listen, there's no such thing as national change without one person at a time giving their heart to Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you something, you can try to legislate righteousness and to some degree that's good, but just know this, what really needs to change is in the hearts of men, because unless the hearts of men change, when evil men get into places, they'll legislate what was legislated right out again. We see that over and over again throughout history, not just the history of our nation, but the history of Israel itself. But God says He will bring a health and a cure. He does this through a people that call His name. He does this through a people that will seek His face and pray and believe Him and do His will. Then the third pillar of the day is a new birth of faith and freedom. How many know that just like we have a new birth in by making Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, and freedom that only Christ can bring, God wants it to be a day where there's a birthing of faith and a reigniting of that and a freedom in our nation. A collection, today is to be at a collection, a collective expression of great gratitude. Having to know that we need to praise and be raised, complain and remain. But today, we as a people should give God glory and be thankful that as a nation, we are celebrating a God. Listen, I realize that we could focus on all the wrong things, the things in the past. Even Israel's history was loaded with evils and wrongs, and they're all recorded for our learning. God didn't erase them. He showed them to us and to them so we could learn from them. Not only what not to do, but what to do. What He doesn't bless and what He does bless. And so today, I realize there's plenty of things that have been wrong. But we're not focusing on what's wrong. We're focusing on the things, the one that can make it right. And that's Almighty God and our faith in God and a new birth of faith and freedom. It is a collective expression of gratitude for the 250 years of freedom and a unified moment of rededication, asking for God's blessing, God's protection, and grace for years to come. Here's a great verse that echoes that in Psalms 95 in verses 1 through 3. It says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." America the beautiful. I'm so glad we started out with that today. Many of us were when we heard that again and heard all the lyrics of that, were unaware or have forgotten because we don't hear it enough. And today, we once again thank God for the birth of this nation. And we, as a people, collectively rededicate this nation back unto God. And in doing so, we'll sing unto the Lord. We'll make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. Verse 2 goes on and says, "Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving." How many thankful people do we have in here today? Come on. "And make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms." What we have to understand, the book of Psalms is God's, it was actually five books of God's prayer and praise of books of the people of Israel. Amen. And so it's right for us to come together in His presence with thanksgiving and singing. Verse 3 goes on and says, "For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." Make no mistake about it. What men call gods are no more than demons. And they will all one day bow their knee to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Philippians 2 tells us that every being in heaven, earth, and under the earth will bow its knee. Every tongue will confess one day that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now today, for all of you that are taking notes, I'm calling today's message The Three Pillars. I'm calling it The Three Pillars because I believe they declare the God of miracles power to birth and to keep this nation through the faith of His people in Him. How many know not only was this nation birthed through faith in Him, but it's kept by faith in Him through His people. God is looking for people that will believe in Him, that will trust Him, that He can use, that they call upon His name, not just in the bad times, but in the good times. But they live in such a consistent way in trust and adoration and thanksgiving unto God. And it is, listen, as important the three pillars that we just talked and I listed that show what today's 250th rededication they'll focus around, as important as those three pillars are. In just one moment, in closing, I want to share with you three pillars from God's Word that are not only important in rededication, but also the key to revival in any person, any people, or any nation that will call upon His name. These three things are things that we have found in the Word of God. We want to know how God moves, how He works, how His revival can be. I'm about to show you those three pillars. And as important as the three pillars that we just talked about that will be recognized across this land today, because I'm sure there's thousands of other churches in our nation that's probably taken a moment, at least some part of that service I've just chosen today, to take the few moments to give God thanks and to bring this recognition to this country. Because to be honest with you, this nation rises and falls on our faith, the church's faith in Jesus Christ, and what the church will do with its faith in God. This is why this is so important. So remember what I'm about to share about this. These three pillars that I'm going to share in just a moment is the key to revival in any person. How many know there can be personal revival? You know, a lot of times we're waiting for in the church, we're praying for it. God wants you to stop. Listen, I don't mean this wrongly. Stop just praying for it. Be it. Be what you want to be. Be what you pray to be. It's nothing the matter with praying it, but just stop putting it off. Be the revival that God wants you to, that you want and you desire to be in this nation. So the three things that I'm about to share in just one moment is the key to revival in any person, people, or nation that calls upon His name. But let's do this first. Let's define the word rededication and why it's important. I think possibly one of the beautifulest stories, well, I'll hold on to that one moment because we'll talk about some stories. But let's define rededication. It refers, by definition, it refers to the act of dedication or committing something or someone once again to a particular purpose, task, role, or cause. It often involves reaffirming commitment, loyalty, or devotion towards an object or belief that had been previously established. In this case, Almighty God Himself. This is important that we understand this. In this case, we're talking about a rededication, the act of rededicating this nation back to God. And possibly one of the best examples of this in Scripture, and certainly the most quoted one, is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I'm going to invite you to turn with me. We all know verse, or many of us would know, which we'll quote in just a moment, verse 14. But I want to set place of this and where this is taken from. We're going to read verse 14 in one moment. Before we do, we're going to read two verses, and then we're going to read two more verses, and then we're going to read verse 14. But in context, what we're about to read is the story of the dedication of the first temple there in Israel by King Solomon to Almighty God. How many know by instruction of God, God gave the blueprint to David, Solomon's father. And David could not build it by God's direction, but Solomon, his son, would. And the scripture tells us on that day upon the dedication of the temple where God's presence so came and filled that building that the priest and the ministers could not stand to minister. And that day, Solomon stood up and he prayed a prayer. And he talked to God, not only dedicating that, but what God would do if the people that are called by His name, not just Israel, but any people that are called by His name, what God would do for them. And so let's read this here, pick back up in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 11. And Solomon finished the house of the Lord, the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and his own house, he prospered, affected. And then it goes on and says, and then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. And if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people. And then, listen, I want to stop there one moment, because when we're about to read verse 14, which we all know very well, before we read that, I want us to address this part where God said, if I shut up heaven and there be no rain. In other words, if there's a curse that comes upon this earth, he says, and if it would devour the land, if bad things happen into this land, if pestilence comes upon our people, why would that happen? Well, in verses, we will find in verse 21 and 22, God tells us why that would happen. Now listen, and this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passes by it, so that he shall say, why had the Lord thus done this unto this land, unto this house? In other words, if bad things happen into the nation of Israel, into this house, and people pass by and say, what has happened? These are God's people. What has happened here? Verse 22 gives us the answer. It says, and it shall be answered because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. And they hold on other gods and worship them and serve them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. This is a reality that whether we like it or not, when the people of God, in this case the nation of Israel, departed from their God and served other gods, committed abominations and sins that actually lifted the hand of God off and caused the enemy to come in and caused the curse and destruction to actually enter in their land, God said, when you depart from me as a nation, as a people, as you depart from me, these are the things that are going to happen. People are going to wonder what happened. I'm going to give you the answer why the bad things happen, because you departed from me and you served other gods. But it doesn't stop there. This is why we go back in verse 14 and God tells us, he says, but if my people that are called by not name would humble themselves or return to me, come on, would humble themselves, return to me, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. In other words, turn from their wicked ways and return to me. Then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will do what? I will heal their land. God's word tells us, as long as Israel walked with God, God walked with them. If they kept him number one, God kept them in his grace and his power. But if they didn't, God said, listen, this is the evil that will come upon you. It'll make people question, where is God at? Why did this happen? But it was all because of their sin, because of their turning from God and doing evils in God's sight. But God said, if people will come back to me, call upon my name, pray and ask, I will forgive and I will heal thy land. How important is that for us today? I'd say it's very important. Now, you can do your own study, but there's somewhere about 26 kings that the nation of Israel had. Matter of fact, let me say it like there was somebody like 26, 27 kings that the nation of Israel had, either Judah or Israel, both under one umbrella there, that said, this is what it said about them, and they did evil in the sight of the Lord. There's way more, recorded in the scripture, way more. Two-thirds of the kings of that day, you can read it, they did, it said this, it's recorded, they did evil. It tells us the things they did. It tells us how they worshiped other gods, pagan gods, devils, demons. They invited homosexuality. They invited child sacrifice. They invited the evils that even though God loved the people, He hated the sin. The reason He hates the sin is because it takes them away from God and it brings the curse upon a people and a nation. Even though God loves every person, He cannot love sin because He's holy and He's righteous. And we see God through whenever, listen, these kings, they said things like this, and they promoted moral decline in the nation. In other words, they promoted sin and they opposed God's will and His way. There was way more that was written that did that than those few that did. Let me give you an example of two that did good in the sight of the Lord. King Hezekiah and King Josiah. Both had what we call, or the scripture calls, reforms. Spiritual reforms, or you could say it in our language today, spiritual revival. They restored. When they took the place of the evil king, they again made worship of God the number one priority. They reopened the temple and they put money there, and they put the priest and the Levites back into positions where the people of God are taught the word of God, worship God, and God was the one that would be praised and magnified and put forth as the God of their nation. They destroyed the altars of the foreign gods and did all those things. My point is that today, could it be that once again, you know, and even some of these leaders that did good, they weren't perfect people. They weren't perfect people, but this is the one thing they did. They turned their people back to the God who created them and that they should trust in. And they pointed and called for His providence and His help and His restoration and His blessing. And they put that faith. That leader made it so that the people could have a choice again to put God first in their nation. How many know they're remembered for that? God remembers them for that. Could it be that if the Lord tarries, this day will be remembered again? I believe so. Because there is no perfect leader. And we certainly don't worship a man, but we certainly, or woman, but we certainly applaud when leaders stand up and say, let the Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ, let His word be read. Let His praises be proclaimed. Let His word be made known all across our land. And let's, as a nation, call upon His name. Let's turn from our wicked ways and let His will be done in our nation again. Acts 3, verse 19 and 20 is a good verse 19 through 21 is a good representation on the day of Pentecost when Peter stood up. There was much that just happened at after the day of Pentecost. We find in Acts chapter 3 the healing of the crippled man at the gate beautiful. And when everybody, listen, we could read that whole story, but for time's sake, we won't. When all the crowd gathered around where Peter and John had healed that crippled man, Peter took note. He had an opportunity to do something because people was wondering, how did this man get made whole? Peter stood up, saw his opportunity. You know what he did? He preached the gospel. But in preaching the gospel, he called Israel and the people that had, as a nation, denied the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, had openly denied him and cried out for him to be crucified. He called for national and individual repentance. Look what his words were in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore. This is what he stood up when the people said, What must we do? He said, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And then the times of refreshing, that word refreshing is the word that we would use. It actually means revival. Then the times of reviving shall come from the presence of the Lord. How many know, how is revival going to come? It's going to come through, listen, it's going to come through repentance. I'm going to talk about this in just a moment. Look what he said. He called the people to repent. Those that had one time denied the Savior, he said, you have to repent. And then, listen, verse 20 goes on and says this, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before you was preached unto you. Verse 21, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things. You know when that is? The second coming. Which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Here we see God's order. And here's what I want to talk about in closing today, the few moments that we have left before we pray as a congregation. The three pillars of rededication or revival. I call it the three pillars of rededication or revival. Number one, repentance. We find this in the Word of God. In other words, a turning from sin and a turning back to God. If we want revival, whether personally or nationally, there must be repentance. These things, if we want to know how God is going to work in our lives, how we put Him to work in our nation and in our lives, we must understand He goes where our faith puts Him, but it will begin in repentance. Us doing it God's way. In repentance and revival, Jesus becomes the only Lord, and all other false gods are repented of and removed. There's a turning from sin and a turning, a returning back to God. Number two, the second pillar of revival is faith in God. Personal faith in God. A total trust in Him alone. This is so important. We want to know how revival works in life. We stay close to God. Personal revival, national revival begins with repentance. It begins with us doing it God's way and then having our faith in God. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then number three, obedience. Obedience means obedience to God and to His will. We no longer can do it our way. If we find that His Word says to the way He wants us to do it, we do it. If we find in our lives that the way we're going, the things that we've applauded, the things we're involved in, do not bring the blessing of God, is not God's will for our life, then we turn from that. We put our faith in God and we obey God's will in His way. This is what God is calling us to do. And when we do, then this is how revival happens, because you ain't seen revival until every believer stands up and says, you know what? I'm through with doing it my way. It's God's way. And when we unite together, we're a mighty moving force that cannot be shaken, that cannot be moved, and that the gates of hell that Jesus prophesied and told us will not prevail against this church. That's how it happens, church, just like this. So today, although we're not at the National Mall, we, like many other churches and believers across this land, stand together as well as the the thousands and thousands, maybe millions today that would stand together there to honor God and rededicate America again to God's plan and purpose for it. And we should. And we thank God for that opportunity. Today, there is, listen, all it takes, church, is one act of destruction in a nation, and everything all of a sudden that as life has been normal is no longer normal. We better prepare now and put our trust in God and know that it's Him that we give ourselves into in His keeping and His deliverance. Amen. Too many times people are so caught up, and we all can be, because we have lives to live, things to do, places to go, people to see. And many of those things are just natural parts of life. But I submit to you today that we must understand that obedience to God's will changes the direction of our life and changes direction as God's people go the direction of this nation. And the direction I'm talking about is to God and trusting to Him. Some trust in horses. Some trust in chariots. Thank God for a good military. And for all, and we should pray for our military. And believe God to keep and use them. But I'm reminding us today, but we need to trust in the Lord our God. Because He can anoint and protect those men and women. But God can supernaturally do what no army can do. Because there's an invisible army. I'm reminded when King Hezekiah in the time of great revival. Let me tell you something. What happens? Mark my word. I'm almost finished. So I'm already doing ahead of schedule. So y'all look at your neighbor and say, that's pretty amazing. Praise the Lord. Listen to what I'm getting ready to say. Mark my word. In the days of Hezekiah, when Hezekiah cried out to God, and did these mighty things of revival. The very next thing that happened was there was a king that opposed him. His name was Sennacherib. And in that we see the story of that the moment that nation was set back right with God, the enemy came to stop it. It would not be surprising to me that there's something that, I'm not prophesying it, I'm not predicting it, but as the biblical pattern goes, the enemy won't be happy with what's happening in America today. He will come to try to defy the people of God. But I want you to know, as in the story of Hezekiah, when he heard matter of fact, here's what, when Sennacherib sent, he says, your leader has lied to you, and your God has sent me to let you know that I'm going to take this place over, and Israel will be defeated like the other nations that my Assyrian army has captured. When they brought that word back after this great move of God, when they brought that back to Hezekiah, you know what Hezekiah did? Hezekiah was smart. He repented. He fell before God in repentance and cried out to God and said, God, I'm telling you what they said. Matter of fact, they're mocking you, God. And they said this about you. They said this about your people. They said they're going to do this. And matter of fact, they said you would do this against us. But God, we're calling upon you. And I can let you know that the Bible says that the prophet Isaiah stood up. He came to King Hezekiah and he told him what the word of the Lord was said. And he says, you ain't got to worry. You ain't got to. And I can tell you, the armies of the Assyrians had surrounded Jerusalem and come up against it. But in one night's time, let me tell you what happened. Does anybody know what the story is? One night time, the angel armies came. Matter of fact, the scripture tells us that one angel slew 185,000 Assyrians. And their king of the Sennacherib went back home, got into his temple and worshiped his gods, and two of his sons came in, assassinated him. In one night's time, God turned it all around. Why? Because there was repentance. Why? Because there was faith in God. Why? Because there was obedience unto God. And let me tell you something. We might not be facing all the things they face, but we're going to face stuff. Whether it's individual or corporately, I just gave you the formula for success, if there's such thing. In other words, our repentance, our faith in God, and our obedience to God's will is key to our individual success and as a nation. And I thank God today, before we pray, I want to remind us what the scripture says. Two more verses and then we're going to pray. And Proverbs 14 verse 34, it says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. See, and today I realize that nobody wants to talk about sin. Oh, just tell me something good that tickles my ear. But let me tell you something. Before you can ever get saved, you got to understand your loss. As sins are what destroy us. And there's one particular sin. That sin is, even though all the sins are wrong, the one sin that keeps us out of heaven, church, make no mistake about it, is our rejection of Jesus Christ. That's the only sin that keeps us out of heaven. Because if you can get man to Jesus Christ and get his heart changed, then from that place, that man can be changed outwardly. Too many times, people are saying things like this. Well, I've just got to clean. One day I'll get my act together and I'll come to God. What use is it? In other words, if you're saying you can save yourself, you don't need God. You need to come to God just like you are, in your mess. Because if we don't come in that way, then we're just fooling ourselves. We got our own version of God, and our own version of God never works. And you can't clean yourself up anyway. You can do all the things that try to correct and modify and dampen and change the outward man. But it's until you change the inward man, the spirit of man, and let that get born again, and then live from that place. Finding out who you are, what you have, your inheritance, and what you can do that gives you power to live a new life. That's what changes us, church. There's hope for us all. And then in Psalms 33, verse 12, this is why today is so important in a nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Having to know his own inheritance, according to the scripture, is with the nation of Israel and with his own church. And the truth is, both are his inheritance. And today, listen, let me tell you something. We're all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's how we get into the kingdom of God. God chooses. He wants everyone to be a part of his family, but not everyone is. Come and help me one moment, Betsy. Not everyone is, but everyone can be. I promise we're going to pray, and we all as a nation. Before we do, there's something that's so important in the heart and life of every person. Let me say it like this. Today is May 17th. You know, historically, across America, God has blessed us as people. Let me just say it like this. June, July, and August, people are going to be coming and going here, not because they go in some to another church. They just go on traveling. They're seeing family. They're taking vacations and all those kind of things. I applaud that. You need that. Pastor Debbie and I will take some. Okay? So it's wonderful that we can do that. But listen to what I'm getting ready to say. All of us, vacations are important, but we should never take a vacation from God. And here's what I want to remind us. You know, there's some people that have planned more, spend more time planning for a week vacation, a three-day trip. Not even a vacation or a three-day trip or a week trip. How about they do more planning for their grocery list than they do about their eternity and planning for that? People are diligent to save money. You should be. IRAs, 401s, all those things. I'm all for it. Wonderful. You're prepared. But as a pastor, I applaud that. But let me tell you something. As a pastor, I have to remind you that you're more than a physical being. And one day, when you draw your last breath, what's important to me is not how much money you had left in the banking account, or you left you your children's children, or even to this church. All of that would be fine. But what did you do to prepare for your eternity? Because you could be wealthy naturally, but be spiritually bankrupt. And what does it profit? Jesus maybe said it best. What does it profit if a man gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? So as much as we want to, and we will pray for this nation, the people that are part of this church, listen to me, know that what I'm talking about right here is so important, because they've experienced that. Just like I did in 1986 at the age of 24, March the 30th, I heard a message that let me know that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believe on Him will not perish but have everlasting life. That day I heard a message and realized that even though I was a churchgoer, and that for 24 years of my life I grew up in church and did good things and didn't get caught doing bad things, thought because I shook the preacher's hand and was water baptized as a child, thought because I prayed every night and asked God to forgive me that I was right with God, I realized that day, I'm so thankful that I had my own version of God. My own version of God was no version at all. It was causing me to be headed to eternal destination, void of eternal life and void of Almighty God. I would have ended up in hell declaring that I'm some great Christian, which I was not. And by the way, you're not a Christian because you're born in America, nor because you go to church. Thank God you're born in America, and thank God you go to a church if you're preaching the Word of God. But there has to be a time that you actually make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And that means something to this church. It means something to every heart and every life that's ever made Jesus the Lord of their life. And today, this is why we take a moment before we pray, that you don't have to feel like an outsider. You don't have to feel like you're on the outside looking in, like there's something missing, something lacking. There's something that's missing. The number one thing is if you never made Jesus the Lord of your life. The Lordship of Jesus is what you're lacking. And the good news is He will forgive you. Here's what the Scripture says. He will be merciful to your unrighteousness and your sins and your iniquities. He will remember no more. You know, all of us in here, like most of us, at least men, like fishing. But let me ask you this question. Who's ever cleaned a fish before you caught it? It's impossible. You catch the fish and then you clean it. Same thing. This is why I said before, many people are trying to come to God their own way. They're trying to clean themselves up. Oh, I'll get a little bit better. I'll stop drinking. I'll stop this. I'll stop doing that. Listen, you just need to come to Jesus the way you are. He will forgive you. He will change you from the inside out. He will be a pardon your sins. He'll be merciful to our unrighteousness, your sins, your iniquities. He will remember no more. Bow your hearts and heads with me in closing. Father, I pray over this place today. Before we pray as a congregation, before we sing again,